Good evening. I have a very topic which it's about the heart, and in the world when we would talk about heart, the whole story of heart in the world is very different. You know, maine terko dil de diya in Hindi we say, and you know, all that flowery things about heart. And when you read the Bible, you get a shock of your life. And the person who can give you an ultimate shock is Jesus Christ, nobody else. So let's get in there and let's see how it's the feedback. Let's go to Matthew 15, verse 10. There'll be a few portions which I'll read, and verse 10. And after he called the multitude to him, and he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what enters into your mouth defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles man." Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up." Verse 14, "Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Verse 15, "And Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.'" Verse 16, "And he said, 'Are you still lacking in understanding also?'" Verse 17, "Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and it is eliminated?" Verse 18, "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defiles the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornication, theft, false witness, slanders." And verse 20, "These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." You know, there is something which is external and there is something which is internal. Alright? And here when Jesus Christ said, "For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, theft, false witness, and slanderers." All these things come out of our heart. And I remember one of the messages I listened to quite a bit of Ravi Sakrais. So he gave a phenomenal message. And in the end he says, "What is that you have in your heart is one day going to destroy you." I mean, that's scary, isn't it? And in the world outside, the religion and the new age and all that, they say, "Look into yourself and you will find your answers." Actually, there is nothing inside of us to find an answer for. It is evil. It is evil. So, how this heart is so wicked? Why this heart is so wicked? Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else, and deceitful than all else, and is desperately sick." It's desperately sick. When I read this, I said, "Wow!" I mean, like, we've read that before, but when you read it again, he said, "You know, you have a sick heart." I mean, it completely, shatters the idea of heart. Actually, what we have when we're not saved, and when we come to know what heart can do for you, right? And but there is one more thing. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "I'll give you a new heart." Now, between this heart and the new heart, we'll see how we go there. You know, how we go to the new heart and what it will take. And I think the best example for us to understand in the scriptures is Genesis 6, wherein Noah, I'll read some portions from there, and how God was so angry. Genesis 6 verse 1. "Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land and the daughters were born to them, and the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whosoever they chose. Feedback. Verse 3, and the Lord said, My spirit shall strive with man forever. My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he also is flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. Verse 4, and the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old men and of renown. I don't think so there's any difference today in what's happening there. Almost 5,000 years have passed in this, and there is no change. It's the same. This defilement, you know, man thinking that. And actually, if you look at this, when you look into this portion, you'll see that there is the world will say it's okay. Gay marriage, chalega, it's fine. What is there to live together with somebody? You know, I mean, it's chalega, it's okay. And they give a new definition to the whole thing. Right? But that's not what the Bible says. God is really angry with this. And the situation was so worse. And I think so, we are not so far away from that. And if you read all the seven dispensation, all the dispensation tragically ends with the destruction. In verse 5, when the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth. Wickedness of man was great on the earth. And this wickedness, not something which happened from outside. It was within. And that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Jesus Christ saying that 4,000 years hence. And look at this. Same thing. Verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man who I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. I will blot out man whom I have made. I will finish them. Blotting out means there is not a single trace left in it. It's over. It's finished. You don't have any records that ever you existed on this place, on this earth. That is what it means, blotting out. And that is how angry God is. It's very interesting. Very interesting. Blotting out man, which means what was Satan doing here? And the Satan's plan was to put the holy seed to death. So much for the mingling of the holy with the profane. The purpose is to frustrate the purposes of God. Frustrate the purpose of God. That is the devil's plan. And he has not stopped doing it. When Jesus Christ was tempted, he couldn't get through. He said, I'll come back at an opportune time. I will come back at an opportune time. You know, he'll come back. He's not going to give up. Because he knows that anyway, there is nothing for him. And the only thing is that he wants to frustrate God's purpose. And you know what is the present day danger which we are living in? The present day danger is we are compromising with the truth for the sake of a union. Means I want to coalesce with something, you know, I want to join with something, I want to do something, but I am ready to compromise with the truth. That is the present danger. That is what devil wants you to do. But verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. One man. He found one man, one guy. You know, we are those one person. You would have been one person in your family. Everybody going against you. And this happened to me. I'm the guy in my family, and then everybody, my mom is in heaven because of that, my dad is in heaven because of that, okay? And my wife, she's on fire for God. So, one man in your family, and that is what God says here. Verse 9, these are the records of the generation of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. You know what? Noah found favor. But God said that I am going to blot out man. Right? Can all the brilliance of man invented in some way can escape this? Can any brilliance of man can escape this? There was no way of escape. I remember, I know, somewhere I saw a movie where they showed the Noah's flood again, and how digitally the whole thing was, actually, if you look at it. And they made those massive ship, and you know, and how they knew that flood is happening, and then how they wanted to get out of it, like the human way. They're all digital, by the way. So that's the other danger which we're going to face now. The digital world. The amount of information which is flowing today is not a joke. The amount of information which is flowing, which means there is no concentration for us to retain any one information at one moment in time. Barrage of information is flowing. I mean, you name it, it's on the phone, okay? It is on the TV. I mean, thank God I've stopped TV. Difficult, but did it. So, but mobile is there. You know, so that's the danger. But you know what happened to Noah? What was the turnaround? But it was the revealing of faith, not of sight. Okay, not to the reason and not to the imagination. But it was revealed to faith. It was only revealed to faith. It was not revealed to the sight. Which means when Noah was making that boat talk, you know how many years? 120 years. Actually, if you see these guys, very unsuccessful. You know, he could only manage to get his 8 people into the boat, his own family, that's it. Right? Just mega ministries, I don't know what it means, but then I know that, like, it's a small, it's the minority. Jesus Christ was successful? No. 12 guys. After that, one guy was instrumental in knocking him out. Right? But then, they are the ones who turn the world upside down. But you know what? God is interested in those few. And we are those few. In Hebrews 11:7. So it is not the reason and not the imagination. It was faith. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So it was not the sight, it was not the reason, it was not the technology, it was only faith. And faith is governed, there are a few points on faith which I would like to discuss with you. Faith is governed by the pure word of God, and word of God was his stability. He heard God, Noah heard him. You make this ark, he heard him. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You know what the man of faith needs? He just want to listen what God is going to speak to him. Thus said the Lord, settles the whole issue. He just wants to listen one word from God. He doesn't want the whole 250 megabytes or gigabytes of information. He just needs to listen to one word. Come. Thus says the Lord. I mean, I know Sinu talked about it. I mean, it really shook me. 950 years of his spiritual walk with God. 1 year is tough. You know, what would have sustained him for those 950 years? Nothing else. But directly he's listening to the word of God. And the word of God becomes the basis of his conviction. One line of scripture, is that all is needed? And how he would have 120 years when he's knocking away, talk, talk, talk. You know, contradiction, mockery. Isn't it we face it when we go to soul winning? Are you guys mad? And I've heard some other churches also saying that. Are you guys, what are you guys doing? How can you, you know, do this? Because we've just heard that one word of God, isn't it? And he called us. He could have not preached this righteousness without listening to the word of God. He was grounded in the word of God. He knew that he could only depend on the word. And thus, the word of God was the resting place for Noah. That was his rest. Imagine the knocking which he's doing, and plus all the guys are coming around and mocking at him and making fun of him. And I remember Pastor Brian saying, you know, what it would have been when the first drops of those rain would have started dropping. Isn't it amazing it would have been? You would have been looking at it. Wow, praise God. You know? Very interesting here. If you observe what God gives man to do, to deal with something which is such a massive thing, the ark of the gopher wood, verse 14. What is it? Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. Wood. And wood has got a lot of significance. I was thinking even Moses, you know, he was given one piece of lakdi. Take this. You know. And wood has got a lot of significance actually. You know what? I mean, I'll just go one more point on the ark. Genesis 7:16. You know what? And Lord closed it behind him. When he put everybody inside, you know what Lord did? He closed it behind him. You know what? You're secured. You're in it. Closed it behind him. Which means once God's hand has closed it, nothing can open it. That is how secured we are in this body. That is how secured we are here in our fellowship, in our friendships. You know what? It's also a picture of the cross. That wood is just not a piece of thing like a ship, but it's a picture of the cross. You know, that is that wood which separated from the destruction outside and they were safe inside. That is how we are. You know what does a cross reveals? Cross reveals God's judgment upon the flesh, but also reveals his salvation for the lost and the guilty sinner. Sin is perfectly judged at the cross. The sin is perfectly saved. The sinner is perfectly saved. Sinner is perfectly judged. The sin is perfectly judged and sinner is perfectly saved. God perfectly revealed and God perfectly glorified at the cross. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Isn't it amazing? In which all he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. He went and said that this is, it's over, it's you're relieved. Verse 20. Who once were disobedient, were patient of God, kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons, were brought safely through the waters. Verse 21. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 22. Who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven, after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. This is the gospel. This is the gospel. That is what Noah was doing. He was preaching the word. He was preaching the gospel. And he knew that Christ is coming. That would. I would like to end with 2 portions of Pastor Stevens. If you have read The Channels of Thinking, it's a mind-blowing book. He given the definition of the heart. I would like to read that. The heart is the seat of all intelligence, the seat of self-essence or individual characteristics. The heart is the seat of all motivations and all methodical, progressive thinking and responding. The entire process and operation of human life prevails in the heart. Isn't it? He changed the whole definition now. Heart was wicked. Now heart has become the center point of everything. But this is not the old heart, this is the new heart. After the cross, this is the new heart when you believed, right? This is the new heart, which is the most powerful thing which we have inside of us. Is the seat of all intelligence, is the seat of self-essence, which means who you are as an individual. Heart is the seat of all motivation and all methodical, progressive thinking and responding. Even progressive thinking and responding. The entire process and operation of human life prevails in the heart. Isn't it changed now? The same heart which is wicked, now it has become the most important piece. And I like what Pastor Shalom makes in his biblical psychology. He makes a heart and he makes a hole in it. You know, and that is where the filling takes place. We are born with a hole in a heart. Which means the moment we believed, okay, we got a new heart. And now this heart is the most powerful thing which we have inside of us. You know what? Which means now we have to be really careful what we listen to. Right? Now in these channels, there are A, B and C channel. A channel is your perceptive lobe. Okay, that is where all the information comes in. And channel B is the spirit. And channel C is your soul. Mind, will, emotion, conscience and consciousness. That's channel C. Now channel B, for a person who is unsaved, that channel B, which is the spirit of human spirit, is dead. It's not alive. The moment you believed in Christ, the channel B becomes alive. And that becomes the filter of getting all the information from the world system. Okay, and then it's dumped into the channel C, which is the soul. And let's see what Pastor Stevens has to say, what the word of God can do. And I'm going to close with that. I mean, I would like to have an undivided attention for that. It's a little bit of a portion, so please concentrate. Man's soul is illuminated when the word of God is preached, as the glorious gospel brings forgiveness and salvation. It ushers in the Holy Spirit who begins to bring the things of Jesus to the person's mind through the heart by way of the human spirit. That's channel B. Then a man begins to confess his sins because of the word of God. It's quick and powerful. He is forgiven because Jesus Christ bore that sin upon his body at Calvary. One moment the man is aware of truth, and the next he mixes faith in Jesus Christ. As he mixes faith with what he has heard, that truth enters the human spirit, goes into the heart, which becomes new and begins to motivate and energize. Isn't it amazing? His heart becomes the seat of God's viewpoint. His process of operating in grace. The truth enters the memory of his new heart, and the Holy Spirit takes what the person has been taught from the memory center and processes and places it in his heart to control the mentality of the soul. What is the mentality of the soul? Mind, emotions, volition, consciousness, and self-conscious. Mind, will, emotions, conscience, and self-consciousness. This is the mentality of the soul. Unless this is not controlled by the spirit, okay, unless this is not filtered, okay, it will be the wicked heart which is there. Which means a person who gets saved, we get a gift of channel B. Right? So let's enjoy, let's rejoice that we have Jesus Christ with us, who gave us a new heart. And now this heart is so operational with God's viewpoint. We have now the word of God coming straight away into it. Like, I remember, I mean, I've not read the Bible before I got saved, but I've seen people who have read the Bible and still they have not saved. When they get saved, after that, say, now this word of God makes a lot of sense. How does that happen? Because the channel B got alive. Now the same heart which is wicked, now it is profitable. Now it has become a seat for God's viewpoint. Right? And I am no more governed by what's happening outside. I'm safe inside the ark, and God has shut the door. I'm locked inside. That's the picture of the church. Right? And we are locked inside here. You go to church every day? Yeah, we go to church every day. Two services? No, three services. Wow. Bible college in the church? Yes, Bible college in the church. Going the exam again? Yes. Did you fail? Yeah. Yeah. But this failure is different than what failure you see outside. Now people say, what are you going to do after you got... Yeah. Not what I'm going to do, what God is going to do with me. Right? So aren't we safe inside this ark? Right? And we have our captain which is gone to US today. Right? And he spoke to me yesterday, day for yesterday. Amazing to hear his voice. Right? Such a comfort, isn't it? Breaks me. So let's not, I mean, we have a fantastic leadership here. We have fantastic word of God. We have such a good friendship in the body. Not perfect, but fantastic. Worth it. Right? Let's stick together inside that. You know how it would have been with those animals, sticky, smelly, dirty, right? But God has shut it. You know what? He made one window which is open to the sky. And for them, there was no way of looking around, only looking up. Amen.